Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we are happy to have you listening to Worth Baptist Hour. We take this opportunity to remind you again that the purpose of this broadcast is to bring Christ into your home. In so doing, we are preaching the wonderful grace of our God, and we are exalting Christ to all who listen. If you do not have a church home, we would invite you to attend Worth Baptist Church with us. As our announcer has already pointed out to you, we are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street here in Fort Worth. On our broadcast of October the 19th, we delivered a message entitled, "The Home Where Christ Abides." We have already reminded you that a copy of this message can be yours by simply writing and asking for it. Our printer has assured us that this message will be off the press in just a few days. Remember, you can have a copy of it by writing to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. My message today on Worth Baptist Hour is entitled, "The Truth About Man." I shall read from the 8th Psalm after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful Word that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to grope in the dark, but Thou hast given us the light and lamp of prophecy, the illumination of Thy Holy Spirit, to teach us the principles and the precepts of Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word has been written to us, and from its blessed pages today, we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of men and women, young people, boys and girls, and may this broadcast result in bringing many to Christ. Bless those who are sad and lonely, those who are despondent and discouraged, those who are lost and undone. We pray that they might taste and see that the Lord is good. Bring men to Christ in this hour is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. We shall read now the 8th Psalm, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? The most complex being in all the world is man. Man has conquered all the elements about him. He has arrested the power of steam and harnessed the power of electricity. He has split the atom. He has gone to the moon. And yet, after 6,000 years of study and research, man does not understand himself. The clearest picture that we have of man is found in God's Word. For God's Word tells the story like it is. And the Bible gives us man's fortune and misfortune from beginning to end. I trust that we shall discover this truth, at least in part, as we consider for a few moments the truth about man. There are three things about man that I want you to think about with me today. First, man's description. Second, man's duty. And third, man's destiny. Let us look for a moment at man's description. Verse 4 in Psalm 8 that I read a moment ago contains a power-packed question. What is man? I shall attempt to answer that question from the Word of God. And this is my point of departure. First, we must say that man is a created being. Man did not just happen. Man did not evolve from some lower species of life. The Bible declares that God created man in His own image. We read in the book of Genesis that God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As God is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, so man is a trinity. He is composed of body, soul, and spirit. With his body, he is world conscious. With his soul, he is self-conscious. And with his spirit, he is God conscious. So then, man is indeed a created being. Man is not only a created being, but man is a dependent being. As God's creature, man is dependent upon his Creator. Without God, man can do nothing. Without God, man could not live. Without God, man could not have his senses. So man is completely, ultimately, dependent upon God. Not only so, but man is an immortal being. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, at verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." You see, death does not end it all. In the long ago, Job asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The answer is clear and plain. The answer comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written in John 5, 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." Man is an immortal being. Man does not cease to live when breath leaves his body. He only changes the place of his existence. For the Christian, death means to go to be with the Lord. For Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:8, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." For the unbeliever, for the unsaved man, death means to pass into the regions of the damned, to pass into hell, there to await that final sentence of judgment, when man shall stand before the white throne judgment of God, and man who is outside Christ shall be sentenced to an eternal death in the lake of fire. Man is an immortal being. I need not remind you of this next thought. Man is a sinful being. In 1 Kings chapter 8 at verse 46, we read, "There is not a man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not." And in Isaiah 53, 6, it is written, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The psalmist testifies to his sin and sinfulness in Psalm 51 at verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The Apostle Paul writes a description of man's sin in Romans 3:23, where he says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There in the third chapter of the book of Romans is the most graphic description of the sinfulness of man. It is an ugly picture, for man in his sin is an ugly being. Man is hopelessly lost without God. Man is doomed to failure without God. Man is destined to eternity in torment and punishment without God. But I have a happy note. This created being, this dependent being, this immortal being, this sinful being, if by faith he turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can be cleansed from all his sin. He can be transferred out of the realm of death into the realm of life. Did you know that with the scriptures that I've given you, there has been drawn for you a picture of yourself? If you are there today without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never trusted Him as your Savior, if you've never opened the door of your heart to let Him come in, you are a sinner, and you stand condemned before God. The Bible puts it this way: He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yes, man's description is that of a sinful being. And in the second place, let us consider for a moment or two man's duty. Someone has said, the most sublime word in the English language is duty. There is a modern philosophy that says, do your own thing. Well, this is nothing new. It is only a revival of an ancient philosophy of Israel. For in the book of Judges, chapter 17, at verse 6, we read, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The problem here is this: the unregenerate man, the unsaved man, the man who has not Christ as his Savior, is capable of doing anything. Why do we have so much crime? Why do we have so much violence? Why are there wars between nations all over the world? The answer is simple. When sin entered into the universe, when man became a sinner through disobedience of God's command in the Garden of Eden, from that moment till this, the philosophy and reasoning of man has been tainted by sin, and consequently, man in an unregenerate state can and will commit crime and sin and disobey God. Man's duty is basically threefold. One, man has a duty to himself. Two, man has a duty to his fellow man. And three, man has a duty to God. Someone said, to thine own self be true. If we will be true to ourselves, out there listening to Worth Baptist Hour today, if you will be true to yourself, if you are yet unsaved, if you will but admit it and confess your sin, and be true in this matter, you can by faith turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you are true to yourself, you'll be true to God, and you'll be true to your fellow man. I said man has duty to his fellow man, and he does. There's a beautiful picture in the New Testament of the Good Samaritan who went to the stranger, the man who was in the ditch, who had been left half dead. Taking that man upon his own beast, he rode him over to the inn and there paid the bill, took care of him, helped him. Ah, beloved, you can be a good Samaritan today to that man who has fallen simply by giving yourself to God and in so doing, giving yourself to your fellow man. Man's foremost duty is to God. Moses deals with man's duty to God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Listen to these words. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Moses says that man's duty is to fear the Lord thy God. Once we hold God in the proper perspective, everything else in life will be balanced. When we fear and trust him, all other things are equal. So it is your duty today to fear the Lord. It is furthermore your duty to walk in all his ways. Wherever the ways of the Lord lead you, you can rest assured that his way will ultimately lead you to heaven. Ah, but my friend, here is the capstone of it, right in the center of all these commandments. You are to love him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. Let me ask you, do you really love God? Do you love his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love the Bible? Do you love the church? Do you love the gospel? Where are you this moment? Why are you not in church right now? Do you really love God? This is your duty to Him, to love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then Moses goes on to say that it is man's duty to serve the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul. Let me ask you a question. Who are you serving? Who is your master? Is Christ? He can be. If you are not saved, then Satan is your master, and you are obeying sin. But if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and your Savior, He will become your master, and you can serve Him. And then Moses says that we are to keep His commandments. This is indeed our duty to God. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 14 at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The wise Solomon summed it all up in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 13 and 14. Solomon wrote, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The whole duty of man is to serve and fear and honor and acknowledge and praise God. This all comes about when you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him? Have you trusted Him? Have you acknowledged Him? Have you owned Him as your Savior? This is your duty. And then there is man's destiny. Man's destiny is not determined by chance, but by choice. When God created man, He created man a free moral agent. He endowed man with the ability and with the right and with the freedom to choose between right and wrong. All about you today, there are two forces at work: righteousness and unrighteousness, God and Satan. The truth and error, light and darkness. Now, you have a choice. God has given you a choice that you yourself can make, and the choice that you make in time, the choice that you make right this moment, will determine your destiny. In Noah's day, God gave man a choice to enter the ark and be safe, or to stay outside the ark and be lost. In Israel's history, the same is true. God gave the men of Israel a choice, just as He gives us a choice now. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, hear these words. God speaks to man. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life and live. Choose Christ and live. Choose the right way and live. If you choose the wrong way, you must surely die. You must die an eternal death. For the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot come. The same God who was faithful in giving the people of Noah's day a choice, the same God who gave Israel a choice, gives you a choice today. Listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The only way to get to the right destination is to be on the right road. Which way are you traveling today? Are you traveling the upward road to heaven, to happiness, to be with the Lord forever? Or are you traveling the downward road? You and you alone can decide it. God has made the way clear and plain. God has offered to you eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. God says to you, choose my son. Choose the right way and live. Reject my son and die. Only you can make that choice. What do you hope for your destiny to be if you go on through this life rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no hope for you if you die in your sins without him. But you don't have to die in your sins without Christ. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to save you. And he gives you this invitation. Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ waits outside your heart's door today to give you that eternal rest. Make the choice. Decide in time for eternity. Decide for Christ this moment. Simply say, dear Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin, and I trust thee as my Savior. And the Bible says the work is done. For it is this simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Out there by your radio today, we would invite you again to write us this week. The only way that we can know that this broadcast comes into your home and is a blessing to you is by your writing. Sit down today. Write us a card or a letter. Let us know that you listen to Worth Baptist Hour. It would be thrilling for us to hear from you and to know that you, by means of Worth Baptist Hour, have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or that by Worth Baptist Hour, that you as a Christian are being built up in the faith as you listen each Lord's Day to this gospel ministry. Remember, our mailing address is simply Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And until next Sunday at this same time, just keep on praying.